Good morning. We're going to call the Government Operations and Elections Policy Committee meeting to order. Do I have a motion on the minutes from our last meeting?
So moved.
Thank you. Representative Nash moves the minutes from the last meeting. Any discussion to those minutes? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes from March 4th are adopted. Good morning, Representative Heintzman. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'll go ahead and move House File 960 to be
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Senator Albright.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Oh, geez.
State your point of order.
I understand that there is a usual and customary process when a freshman approaches the testifier table and committee for the maiden voyage, Mr. Chair, and I'm just wondering if there is some justification for the non-compliance to that tried and very historical custom.
Representative Heintzman.
The donut shop was
what
out
say
of donuts.
You? They're out of donuts. With that, I will move House File 916 to refer to the General Register. Again, welcome, Representative Heintzman. If you would introduce yourself, then go through your bill, and then you're free to introduce your testifier as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Heintzman. My district is House District 10A, and I am trying to move House File 916. I brought with me today Commissioner Paul Titi to go and to discuss a few of the bill's details.
Welcome, Commissioner. If you would, just state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Paul Titi, Cohen County Commissioner, and I'm glad to see that the tradition that I saw when I sat in this august body in 1979 still prevails. You give freshmen the due treatment that they deserve. Mr. Chairman, this is a pretty straightforward bill. You passed five of these in the last session. It's simply allowing the County of Crow Wing to appoint rather than elect county auditor and county recorder, auditor, treasurer, and recorder. I have with me as well in the audience our elected county auditor, treasurer, Debbie Erickson, our elected county recorder, Mark Liedl, who are elected to a term currently. Both of them are here with the unanimous support of our county board to move this forward so that we could move to an appointed position in those rural offices. As you know, as elected officials, we also bring along the staff that can substantiate anything we say or correct the errors that we make. So our county administrator, Tim Hull, is also here just in case you ask me too tough a question. It's pretty straightforward. I don't know that there's any explanation needed other than this is simply allowing us the opportunity to appoint rather than elect the county auditor, treasurer, and recorder. I would stand for any questions that the committee members might have.
Thank you, Commissioner. Members, any questions? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it must be spring. These are the, like the 35E bill that we normally see once a year, and we see a great number of these every year, every session and every year. It was pointed out we did five of them in the last session. And I know last session I had a bill that would allow, I think it's similar to 1179 that we're going to be hearing after this, that would allow all counties to do this. I know there's bipartisan support, I think, in the legislature in the past for doing this for each county. It's interesting that the bill to allow all the counties normally falls flat in space, and people get up and scream and holler and rant and rave about how terrible it is to allow to remove the election process from positions, but we seem to pass them every year one by one. I think we're up to about 30 counties that we allow to do this out of the 87, and again, it begs the question that I've asked in the past, and the bill I had in the past said, at what point did we hit the critical mass where we allow all counties to do this? And I do support the bill, and so going forward, hopefully we can look at that and with the proper controls, as I think that I'm looking at this bill that has that, where the county, the electorate of the county can have a process of either disapproving this and taking it back elective. I think that's important. But like I said, we seem to pass the one by ones every year, but we scream and holler about not doing the ones for the whole state. So it's a good bill, and Mr. Heintzman, Representative Heintzman. So I'm going to support it.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Representative Rundle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Heinzman and Commissioner Tiedemann? The provision for a reverse referendum, is that something particular, a condition that your county wanted, or has that been standard in how we do these bills?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Runbeck, the language is exactly what was in the bills you passed last year, with the exception of Crow Wing County. It's exactly what has been passed historically.
All right, great. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Any other member questions? Representative Nash.
Mr. Chair, I would have had a question, but the hunger pains are preventing me from doing so.
I hear you. Any other member questions? Seeing none, anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none, Representative Heinzman will give you the last word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. I appreciate your help getting this moved forward for my county. Appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Heinzman. With that, I will renew my motion. The House File 916 be passed and referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? House File 916 is referred to the General Register.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is House File 1179. Welcome to the committee, Chair Schumacher. My understanding at this time you'd like the bill to be laid over.
That's correct.
Excellent. I'll move that House File 1179 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill or for further action. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1179 provides for a process for local government officials throughout all of Minnesota to move to an appointed system of county row officers, including the auditor, treasurer, and recorder. The bill before you today is a compromise which has the support of both the Association of Minnesota Counties and the Minnesota Association of County Officers. It has bipartisan support from members in Greater Minnesota as well as the Metro in both the House and the Senate. I want to highlight the fact that House File 1179 does not mandate any change to the counties in how they go about their business. This bill simply puts a statewide model in place for what we've done county by county 22 times since 2011. The bill is just providing the same options to every county in Minnesota that has already been specifically and specially provided for in more than 29 counties throughout the state. In this bill, in order to make these offices into hired positions, the county board must first post notice of their intention to debate the issue for two consecutive weeks. They must also hold a public hearing and give citizens the opportunity to share their support or concern. Final action from the board requires an 80% supermajority vote. After the board vote, the public still has the ability to petition the county and defeat the board resolution. More importantly, county residents will, of course, hold their elected county commissioners accountable for any decision that's made on the issue. By any measure, the citizens will always have the final say in determining how they are governed. Under this bill, the decision to move to an appointed system of county offices could only take the place if there is a vacancy in the office or there's a signed contract between the board and the incumbent. If the current office holder chooses to file for another term, the county has no authority to change this office to appointed. The reason counties have asked for this across the state is that the work of auditors, treasurers, and recorders has become more technical, and as these counties adapt to the 21st century technologies and the increased mandates from the state. When voters choose who fills these positions, they are limited in selecting from a narrow pool of candidates that actually live in the county and who are willing to file for public office, knowing that their job could last as little as one term. For counties that choose to move to an appointed model, boards can ensure that all candidates for these important positions meet certain minimum standards of training, education, and experience and are the best candidates for the job. Members, with that, I will stand for further testimony and ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Schumacher. I see that we have a couple testifiers on the list.
So this is asked.
And Representative Nelson, will move to your question first, if you would like to. I see you're on the list.
Mr. Chair and Representative Schumacher, I guess in reading the bill before and reading it now, I got a question. It passed, and as the previous bill had, in the past when we've done this, we give the electorate of the county the ability to call for an election to revert back to an elected office. The way I read this before, maybe I read it wrong, that with the petition signed by 10% of the registered voter, it automatically goes back, or does it call for an election? I mean, I would prefer that we have it, you know, I want the reverse referendum process in there so that the electorate of the county want to have it, the citizens of the county want to have go back to an elected office, they can. But it seems to me that if 10% of the people say they want to go back and 90% of the people don't want to go back, that 10% can overrule the majority of the people without having to go before an election. So I guess how does that work in the bill? Is it automatically go back if 10% of the people petition, or does that trigger an election?
Chair Schumacher.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Nelson. I'm going to have our testifiers, actually, who helped craft this legislation, speak to that point.
Thank you. If you welcome to the committee, both of you, if you would, just introduce yourself for the record. Let us know who you represent.
I'm Randy Schreifels, the Kearns County Auditor Treasurer.
And my name is Bruce Messelton. I serve as the Chisago County Administrator.
The bill is written that once the referendum signatures get up to 10%, then the resolution the board passed would be rescinded. So it would be automatically rescinded right now. The board always has the option of putting it on the ballot after that bill.
And if I may add, Mr. Chair, Member Nelson, the discussion that we had about that, and as you've seen, the county-specific bills typically have a reverse referendum clause goes to the ballot. Our feeling from the Association of Minnesota Counties is that if 10% of the voters say we're really not happy with this, and because this process is different, it would be appropriate for the county board then to say, well, we still think we should put it on the ballot, and then they would go through the normal referendum process. So in compromising for statewide authority, we thought that was a reasonable compromise.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as I stated on the earlier bill, I've carried a bill similar to this last session and have supported this again. At what point do we hit the critical mass of 87 counties to do this? Have some concerns about the way this is structured this year, and I guess I'll just think about that as we go forward. But like I said, I would rather have it trigger the 10% trigger a referendum as to doing this and then automatically having the election as opposed to switching back because 10% of the people decide that they want to push their will on the other 90% of the citizenry.
Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just have a question, and it might be covered in here, but I can't find it. I'm just wondering, and I agree with you, and I support this. It makes sense as the jobs become more technical. Would this position then go from a part-time to a full-time? And then, not that we elected officials aren't overly compensated, but I'm wondering if there, you know, that will there be an increase in compensation and any type of a fiscal impact?
Mr. Schreifels.
Again, Randy Schreifels, Kearns County Auditor Treasurer. Mr. Chair. The position being full-time or part-time I don't think would really change. I would imagine, I don't know of any county recorders, auditors, or treasurers that are part-time right now. And then your other question on the salary, I think there a lot of them are put on the grid that the salary has now. I know I am put on the salary grid that the other county employees have, and I don't believe that would change at all.
Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Any other member questions? Seeing none, is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none, is there any further discussion? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess if this bill passes and the county board and the county officials don't agree, there's a piece in there, are we going to continue to see one-time bills every session or every year till we get 87 counties doing this or going forward?
Mr. Mezel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nelson. We've had that discussion. I think, you can never say never. Any representative might put in a bill for their county. Our feeling from the Association of Minnesota Counties is that if there is a statewide bill, that it would be very, very difficult for justification for an individual bill to come forward. And our position is that if the elected official who is considering retirement or converting to an appointed position and a county board can't come to terms, then that by all means is a strictly local issue and it should be brought to the voters. And that process is in statute and it is used once in a while. But as you know, these types of decisions typically don't come to the voters unless there's a controversy or there's a crisis. Good decision making, good succession planning just doesn't make for sexy ballot questions. So our position is that while we can never say never, we think that it would be very hard for somebody to justify a county-specific bill.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I support the concept of the bill, some of the vagrancies of it. I mean, I'm not sure I'm totally on board with, but I do support the concept. I mean, at some point, you know, if we're going to do it one by one, although I miss having them in our committee every year. I mean, it's a sure sign of spring, like the first robin.
That's right.
So, I mean, anyway, with that, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Any other member discussion? Anyone else in the audience that wishes to discuss this bill? Seeing none, Chair Schumacher, we'll give you the last word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Please support the effort.
Right. With that, we will lay over House File 1179 for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill for further discussion. For that, we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Members, that concludes our agenda for today. We have a brief outline for next week. Tuesday, we have a joint committee with civil law, and we're going to hear from the OLA on Minsure. So we'll have a joint presentation there. Wednesday, we do not have the exact plan for what bills will be heard, but we will have a full agenda of bills for Wednesday and possibly on Thursday, but we'll send out the full agenda as soon as we have it set. But as of now, Tuesday will be a joint committee, and we'll have a presentation from the Office of the Legislative Auditor on Minsure.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Nelson,
do we know where the joint committee is going to meet? It's going to be here, or
it is still being determined, Representative Nelson.
Thank you. Look for your knowledge,
but I believe it will be during our committee time. Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, we are adjourned.